emphasizing a switch in who held the upper hand. To begin with, after the passing of Haman's edict, the Gentiles had gained mastery over the Jews and waited for the day they could attack. Then the tables turned, and with the passing of Mordecai's edict, the Jews have gained mastery over those who would have destroyed them. Certainly, there was the temptation to express their mastery without limits. Take advantage of this opportunity. Let's get even and get back. Did they? Well, they certainly defended themselves. In doing so, they inflicted just punishment. But we can't say they were out of control. I'll show you why. The Jews assembled in their cities throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to lay hands on those who sought their harm, and no one could stand before them, for the dread of them had fallen on all the peoples. Esther chapter 9, verse 2. Remember World War II and the death camps? Don't think for a moment that when the barbed wire was cut as the Allied troops swarmed in and the prisoners in the death camps were freed, that dread didn't fall on the guards. And for just reason. That's like the scene we find here. Even all the princes of the provinces, the satraps, the governors, and those who were doing the king's business assisted the Jews, because the dread of Mordecai had fallen on them. Indeed, Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame spread throughout all the provinces, for the man Mordecai became greater and greater. Thus the Jews struck all their enemies with the sword, killing and destroying, and they did what they pleased to those who hated them. And in Susa, the capital, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men. And then it names several of those who were killed, citing them specifically because they were the 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Jews' enemy, but they did not lay their hands on the plunder. Esther chapter 9, verses 3 through 10. Pay close attention to that last phrase, but they did not lay their hands on the plunder. They had the freedom to take the spoils from those they annihilated, from those who would have annihilated them, but they did not. They defended themselves, but went no further. More importantly, the edict had given them the freedom to kill women and children, but they didn't carry it to that extreme. At least there is nothing recorded in the account to indicate that they did. On that day, the number of those who were killed in Susa the capital was reported to the king. And the king said to Queen Esther, "The Jews have killed and destroyed 500 men and the 10 sons of Haman in Susa the capital. What then have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now what is your petition? It shall even be granted you. And what is your further request? It shall also be done." Esther chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. The king seems astonished that the Jews have killed 500 men in Susa alone. If that is the case, he reflects, how many will they have killed throughout the entire rest of the provinces? At that point, you might expect the king to say, "That's enough, touch no one else." But he trusts Esther. I think it is noteworthy how significantly this man relies on and respects the counsel of his wife Esther. He's still the king, but it is obvious that her opinion matters a great deal to him. Her inner strength had been wonderfully displayed in previous hours. The way she handled her concern regarding Haman's wicked plan, the manner in which she expressed compassion for her people, the wisdom shown in her timing of silence as well as speech. Ahasuerus knew she was a woman of enormous character. When that is true, the heart of her husband trusts her. Proverbs 31:11. And so he asks if there is anything else he can do for her. What a question. But again, Esther reveals strength in her response. But don't think for a moment she was soft. This lady has guts. Then said Esther, "If it pleases the king, let tomorrow also be granted to the Jews who are in Susa to do according to the edict of today. And let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the gallows." So the king commanded that it should be done so, and an edict was issued in Susa. Haman's 10 sons were hanged. Esther chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. The queen asked for one more day in which the Jews could defend themselves. She also asked that Haman's 10 sons, who had already been killed, be impaled on the gallows their father had built. What was the point of this, since they were already dead? It was a way of saying publicly, what these men and their father stood for will never be allowed again. There's a needed message of fear eloquently communicated in capital punishment. And the Jews who were in Susa assembled also on the 14th day of the month, Adar, and killed 300 men in Susa, but they did not lay their hands on the plunder. Esther chapter 9, verse 15. Once again, the Jews defended themselves, but they did not do so without self-control. They deliberately restrained from plundering the property belonging to the dead. Another confirmation that they did not kill the women and children, but instead left the property for them. Now the rest of the Jews who were in the king's provinces assembled to defend themselves and rid themselves of all their enemies and killed 75,000 of those who hated them.